Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. It has been a while between episodes. So this episode, I actually wanted to write at the end of July. And I think a number of these episodes were originally also supposed to be recorded mid-July as well. But as always, life gets away and all best intentions always fail, which means that these podcasts have been waiting for me to record them for quite a while. So today's podcast is all about lockdown schooling and tutoring. And when I finally sat down to type this out on Friday, in the back of my mind was thinking, I think I've left this a bit late, but we're in about week 5 of lockdown for some areas, and this information may still be relevant, and here we are. Now, it is Tuesday, the 17th of August, and it is still relevant, and now it is relevant for all of New South Wales, as well as parts of Victoria. Anyway, without much further ado, let's jump into it. So, like I was saying just at the beginning there, this is all about lockdown. And, you know, lockdown has been hard on all of us, and trying to keep up with our kids' schooling and additional support services as well, as in addition to us trying to work from home, have family life balance and commitments to our family, it has been an incredibly challenging time. And you know, in some regards, technology has been really good because it has provided us with the opportunity to be able to continue our schooling journey and continue our additional support journey and, you know, work from home successfully. And, you know, even just in that, when we think about how far we have really come technology-wise in a really short period of time, we are, you know, should be quite thankful that the majority of the things that we do are able to be done online, or online to some extent. And if we think about other times where, you know, disease has been rampant in society, and, you know, the years ago in which that has occurred, it would have just been that everything would close down and that's it. So in some regard, we are very fortunate. We are at Breakaway Tuition also very fortunate that we have a bank of tutors that have been really dedicated and prepared in getting sessions online. And those tutors also did a lot of that online stuff last year as well. And here we are again. So we've just finished with week 5 of school, which, like I said, has seen Sydney in lockdown since the end of June. And it has now been extended for another few weeks. And then it has also now been extended to all of New South Wales. So, you know, it has been such a crazy and stressful, confusing time for parents as well as our children. And, you know, as much as we all had hopes for schools to be back in the greater region by now, as the weeks go by, I think we are all, we're all just, I guess, acknowledging that perhaps the challenge is greater than we originally thought with COVID. So realistically, for New South Wales, this is coming up to the biggest lockdown that we have had to date, and we have been very fortunate in that. And in the Southern Highlands, we have been in the unusual position where our tutoring centre is outside of the Greater Sydney region, and we have, though, had students attending or who normally attend school in the greater region and live in the Highlands, or live in the greater Sydney region and attend school in the Highlands. So the last 5 weeks has been really interesting, to see how different groups of students are coping with the change, how different schools are facilitating this change. And, you know, trust me, I know kids actually hate change sometimes more than we do it as adults. We're creatures of habit after all. But it has been really interesting to see how schools have done it this time round. And although we had delved into the world of online school a little bit last year, giving the schools opportunity to learn from the previous lockdown, I feel that many of us actually didn't expect it to happen again. We were very optimistic that we wouldn't have to go through learning at home. I think the other interesting thing that has been fascinating to watch is also the university systems. And realistically, the university systems have been more set up for online in, you know, the last probably 5 to 10 years, more so than what schooling has been. And although, you know, schooling has been, well, schools have used like Google Classrooms and things for ICT skills, I feel sometimes the actual ICT skills that need to be developed aren't being developed through those types of mediums. But university, there has been so many opportunities for people to be able to do tertiary study without physically having to move closer to the universities that they've wanted to do that at. And, you know, it has opened up so many opportunities to work things around family and work circumstances, as well as allow people to add on to skills that they already possess. And I did have high hopes for universities on the online realm, but it appears that some of them have actually started upping their requirements for online studies, leaving a lot of uni students really overwhelmed and in some cases feeling really unsupported. So that has just a side note, but it has been really interesting to watch as we move forward. But back to the realm of schools. So I know that parents have been overwhelmed with trying to divide their time between learning at home and keeping their children's mental health intact, and trying to work from home on top of a usual day-to-day running of the household as well is putting incredible stress and strain on everybody. Every school is doing learning at home differently, and there have been many schools that have found the best balance for their students and their staff, with some schools perhaps providing too little at some time and some schools providing too much. Some schools have tried to do every class online for the full duration of sessions via Zoom, and other schools have decided to only do Zoom for wellbeing. And I think that sometimes we do forget that schools are trying so hard to find the balance between effectiveness for learning in the eyes of parents and then what is best for their students and also what is best for their teaching staff, because their teaching staff are trying to balance all of these things as well as support your children. You know, for teachers, we often forget that if their schools are also learning at home, then they're most likely having their own families working from home too. And you can imagine, just like everyone else working from home, to be present for classes for their students, to navigate how to engage students successfully on an online platform, and also having their own children needing assistance with their learning and snacks and food and everything else on top of that, it is quite a stressful situation. Anyway, so I have some really great tips for you to hopefully help you with the last leg of the learning at home journey, fingers crossed. And, you know, if it extends, you can always come back around to have a look at these tips again. And I think we're always looking for, you know, things to make us feel a little bit better about our circumstances. So tip number one, and it's a big one, I've seen it heaps all over the place, take the pressure off, you know, for both you and for your children. I understand that some work situations are not as flexible as others, and although businesses should perhaps take the opportunity to explore more flexibility for their workers, sometimes it's just not possible. But seriously, all you can do is take each day as it comes. If you or your child just can't tick off every single activity every day, then that's okay. And I think we're often stuck in the stress and overwhelm that comes with fight or flight mode, and our bodies are constantly thinking that something bad is going to happen if we don't do what we're supposed to do and when. And at the end of the day, we can often only do what we can. And when we have all of that stress and strain on ourselves, we unconsciously reflect that onto our children so that our children can actually tell the pressure that we're feeling as caregivers, and they're often very accurate with that too. But nothing bad is going to happen if your child is just struggling with learning. Nothing bad is going to happen if you only get through one activity. So the second tip I have for you is just do the basics. If all else fails and you just can't get your child to complete any activities sent from school, then just do the basics. Get them a book to read or a few paragraphs of something. Get them to write in a journal or even write a letter to a friend or a relative. If they love writing stories, get them to write a story. Get them involved with cooking and measuring things out for mathematics. If they love measuring things, then you can go and get them to measure people and other things, each other, furniture, gardens outside. Perhaps they could help you figure out the costs of redoing one of your gardens in your backyard, or they can help you count some money. They can add things together. There's lots of different things that we can do with our kids and our younger kids and older kids alike, where they're still using these basic skills, but it's just not in a worksheet or in a book. And you can, get them to record what they're doing as they're doing it as well to show their learning of that. Tip number three, if it doesn't work, then don't force it. If you're just kicking and screaming and fighting with your children to do their schoolwork, it's probably best just to let them be. You can space it out across the day, but, I hear from so many parents that say that their children just don't listen to them, or they're just refusing to do the work set from school. And realistically, when we think about it, our home is our home. Home is a safe place in most circumstances for our children, and it's a place that they can relax and be themselves. When they have assignments, it's one thing trying to get them to finish an assignment, but with having to complete all of their schoolwork at home, it's a whole other ball game. We have suddenly told our children that home is now for school too. So there isn't a division between I do my learning and work at school and I come home and relax and can just be myself. And that alone is placing a lot of additional stress on our children and parents. Emotional stress, confusion, worry, not seeing their friends, all of those things are rolling into one big ball for your child. If they're just refusing to do their work, then just leave it. Try again tomorrow and break up the work into smaller chunks. So tip four rolls into that, so breaking it up further. I alluded to this above, but if your children just aren't coping with the work, then break it into smaller chunks. If a task would usually take 30 minutes, get your child to complete it in 10-minute intervals. At the end of the day, if the task gets done, it gets done. One thing that we often forget is that with learning at home, although teachers may provide the work in a series of steps, you do this and then this one, our children are seeing the whole task in front of them and all of the steps that are there at the one time. And that is actually massively overwhelming for them, and rightly so. Our children often haven't learned, and even sometimes by year 12, to pull the main tasks into smaller steps and then just to focus on one step at a time, because they've overwhelmed themselves that they have another 10 steps that they have to do until they finished. If these steps are written down, you print them out, cut them up, and only showing your child one step at a time and giving them time to complete that one step, then that is going to be more successful. For example, if the whole task is that they need to write a creative story and they need to do a mind map, they need to build their characters, they need to have a setting and their ideas first and then write the story, well, it's any wonder why we can't get our kids to actually start the task. That's a lot of different things that we're asking them to do, a lot of different things we're asking them to think about, and a lot of pressure that we're putting on them as well. In the classroom, that type of task would only be given one part at a time. So model this at home. Only print or write on their workbook the very first step, i.e. think of a situation for your story. Once they've finished that one step, then give them the next step. And this can work wonders for homework and assignments too. If you give your child a whole page of maths and they simply refuse to do it, they're probably just overwhelmed by the task and the volume of the task. Photocopy it again, cut out the one part and then put numbers on the back where your child can't see it. Then give them the one task. If it is five additional questions, only give them the five addition questions or additional questions one at a time and not the extended word problems yet. So then they don't know that there's extended work there for them to do. Tip number five, make their lunchbox and put it in the fridge. You know, our kids are always hungry and it seems like they're even hungrier when they're home all day. Whether they're eating snacks because of boredom, just don't know. But it's probably a bit of stress eating and boredom altogether, and we see that a lot during the holidays. But it could also be because that they haven't had their trusty lunchboxes made either. So if you make their lunchbox with what they would usually eat at school and pop it in the fridge, it can then help massively with the food and snacks that you're doing throughout the day. And that basically brings me to my last point, which is my most important point and the most important thing that you want to be thinking about at this period of time. Be there for them. Above all, this is the most important thing. If you are stuck in your house and frustrated because they're refusing to do their work, they're bugging you while you're on Zoom meetings, they're making it difficult for you to do your work, remember just to be there for them. Turn off the computer, turn off your phone, find a good movie, create a movie night experience, create a food fiesta of some kind, but just put everything down and just play with your children. The stress that the current situation is creating for us as adults and children is unquestionably huge. And we're living in an extremely connected world, but for our kids, the stress is still massive. Again, their worlds have been turned upside down, just like ours. They aren't seeing their friends in person, and they're just finding their way, you know, with them, with their friends. They aren't seeing their teachers. Their school routines and school experiences are completely halted. Their routine's a mess. They no longer know what to expect and in what order things will occur. And that is hard. That's hard for us as adults as well. So just be there. Be there to listen, to encourage, to console, and to counsel. It's hard. There are opinions everywhere. Everyone's home situations are different, along with work expectations and school expectations. But realistically, all we can do is get through to the next day and the next week and the next point. Taking everything one day and one step at a time is something that we all just have to pull back and master during this challenging time. As always, if there is something that you need help with and you want to discuss, if you think that your child might need some additional assistance, we are always here to help you, even during this challenging time. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find our website, www.breakawaytuition.com.au, or you can also give us a call. I hope that you found the tips in today's episode really handy, and I do hope that everyone has a really lovely week.